Oh yeah, your favorite cousins are back. We are live. Welcome back to the Silver Boys Podcast. I am your host, Cam Silver.
And I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
And, Kyle, we had ourselves a pretty good week.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, it's just nothing but the three-headed monster going crazy. College football, we got basketball preseason back. You know what I'm saying? Back. We got NFL always.
Oh, shoot. Can't forget about the MLB playoffs right
now.
Cannot, yeah. It's going crazy right now. Mm-hmm. Some surprises there. Mm-hmm. Just going to the top. Arizona just swept out the Los Angeles Dodgers. Mm-hmm. The Phillies are on the brink of reaching the NLCS, beating the top team in the league in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. To see the Astros look strong, per usual, 7th straight ALCS. So what can you really say about that?
Can't say nothing about that.
And the Rangers surprisingly get past the Rays, and then after that they get past the Orioles, mm-hmm. who was the number one seed in the American League. So mm-hmm. The postseason, per usual, in every sport is always the best because you just you really don't know what's gonna happen.
Yep.
But yeah, no. Let's get into it. So. Get into in the NBA.
Gotcha.
At first I was gonna say let's do Wemby's like first game against Chet or whatever, but ESPN officially dropped their top 100.
Yes they did. Seen that when I woke up in the morning. Yes I did.
And you know, per usual, they're always gonna make some splashes.
Stir up some conversation.
stir the pot up. So is there anybody that you think deserve to be in the top 10, or anybody that in general where you think that they deserve to be in different
place? I would argue that, you know, Jokic should be number one. Mm-hmm. I was a little shocked to see Giannis at number one, just a little bit.
I think after how everything fell out last year, yeah, I understand that.
I mean, like, I understand that he got hurt and whatnot, but Jokic is just on another level too.
Correct.
And he just won the championship, so you got to give him his respect at some point. Would have liked to see Jamal Murray higher.
Yeah. That is somebody I did think that should have been a little higher too. It's weird doing the rankings because it's like, how do you officially rank everybody?
Exactly. What are you basing them off of?
Right.
First of all, and then, you know. Like, SGA at 8, you know, proud of him. Like, and shout out to him because that boy could ball.
Right.
That boy is a natural-born baller. But I, you know, for him to be, you know, number 8, it, above LeBron, you know, above AD, which, I, you know, you can make that argument,
you can make
of course.
Argument. Yeah, especially after the season that he just had.
Yes. But to not at least have Jamal Murray up there, too, having the season that he had in the playoff run that he had.
Yeah.
I just, you know, just little things like that. But I don't genuinely have a problem with it.
Yeah, no, overall, I wasn't all that mad with this list. Mm-hmm. I guess a surprising one for me that I'm looking at right now is the fact that Victor Wembanyama is number 47.
Yeah.
On the list already.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't even played an NBA game.
He hasn't played nothing yet.
That's always been one interesting thing to me. Klay Thompson at 41.
Mm-hmm.
Got DeMar at 39. His teammate Zach LaVine at 38.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Beal 37. Ja's only at 35.
Ja's at 35. Wow.
And Kyrie is at 34. See, that's the thing. That's why I'm
like, I don't know if I could put 35 other players above Ja.
And I don't think I could put 34 players in front of Kyrie.
Nah.
Based off of basketball talent, I don't care about the stats. I'm talking about talent.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm talking about if I need a bucket, I'm talking about more so just the fact that, you know, basically anytime you have the ball in your hands, there's a fear. There's a fear factor there.
Defenses are going to play you over the top because you're Kyrie Irving. You know what I'm saying? So 34 other players better than Kyrie?
No.
Ooh, No.
It's not.
I don't agree with that.
No.
I don't agree with that.
I don't. Neither do I. I can't.
And these are supposed to be ESPN experts, but you know, okay, they got it.
Yeah. So another person, Lauri Markkanen. He wasn't even ranked last year, but now he's 28.
28. Not over John, not over Kyrie. Your list is invalid at that point. Your list is invalid.
It's K's from here. It's legit K's from here, because there's just, I don't, you see what I mean? Is that, and I'm going to keep explaining it as long as we're talking about this, as long as we're on the topic. How are you exactly formulating this list? How are we grading this?
My man's was just in the army, like, you know what I'm saying, over the summer, over the off season.
And I understand, you know, he had a great season with Utah.
He did.
Spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, can you really put him in front of Ja? Can you put him in front of Kyrie? Can you put him in front of DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine?
Nah.
Exactly. Based off of talent, based off of, you know, what they can do. And, you know, like I understand Lauri Markkanen is basically the Utah Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. But, yeah, like, I just.
Just
can't.
Going off the eye test alone.
Yeah,
you can't.
No, the eye test won't let you go. It doesn't even matter if you're casual into the game or if you're an expert to the game. Mm-hmm. The eye test will not let you put Lauri Markkanen over a Kyrie Irving or a Ja Morant or such.
Mm-mm.
No, this list is very interesting. So I see we have found some holes. This is actually a good one. How do you feel about Jaylen Brown being at 19?
After a rocky
end to the season last year, because he's
justifiable
because he's only a couple spots behind Jamal Murray at 17.
Jamal Murray should not be 17, man. No. He should not be 17. I don't know, Cam.
And then they kept Dame in the same place as he was last year and put him at 14. After he basically had, like, his highest scoring averages of 32 points per game and scoring 50-plus points three times.
Yeah, that's a little...
That's iffy.
That's shaky.
That's iffy.
Yeah.
You know, right in front of him is Anthony Edwards, which you can make an argument
you
for.
Could.
I'm not mad at that one.
You could. I can make, yeah.
Edwards is a dog. Like,
he's the Minnesota franchise.
Yeah.
He was the franchise of the USA team, like,
basically,
coming over to FIBA World Cup. Like, you know?
Yeah, basically.
He was that guy. So I could see that one. I'm not mad at that one.
And then Devin Booker just on the outside of the top 10 at number 11. Which I don't think I could really make an argument for that.
No, I can't either.
I like that one, but
that's not anything, you know, new. I just find it crazy. I just want to say something. I find it crazy how, you know, four out of the top five guys are from overseas too. Like, you know, you got Giannis, Jokic, Embiid, and then Doncic, Luka.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
To see that, evolution of the game, and just to see, like, how these European players and, you know, these overseas players are coming over and, like, taking over.
Thank you to the Dream Team.
Yeah.
You know, so it shows that, like we said, it shows that there's not much of a gap anymore between, you know, USA basketball and international basketball.
Mm-hmm.
It's all, they're all catching up now.
They are.
Yeah, no,
it's a different type of basketball that they play too. So, you know, it's completely different.
Right.
Hey, we gonna get right though in Paris. We gonna get right. I'm not worried. I ain't worried.
You know, the Olympics is gonna be.
The Avengers are assembling, people. The Avengers are assembling.
They are indeed. But let's get. Matter of fact, we'll skip over Wemby. Wemby had a great night, by the way, against Chet.
Chet had a great night against Wemby.
Yeah, they both had a great night against each other. So,
yes, they did.
They both had a pretty strong night against each other. I'm trying to get to the stats real quick. Wemby played 19 minutes. He had 20 points, block. He had two steals. He had five rebounds. So not too bad. He was also 2 for 5 from the three, 8 for 13 from the field. But going to Chet had himself a pretty good night as well.
Mm-hmm.
16 minutes, 21 points, 9 rebounds, 1 block, 2 for 2 from 3, 7 for 10 from the field. So two big men that are 7'2", 7'3", 7'4", that can
just
hit the 3.
Flat out ball.
Yep, that can spread the floor, also get to the paint. They could. Mm-hmm. They know how to create for themselves and others, which is scary. So,
yes, very.
Yeah, no, they're... They have bright futures in front of them, and I'm very excited to see what they do. But let's go back to college football. So this past week, we had a pretty good week. The Red River Rivalry was a really good. Oklahoma came out on top, boosting their rankings up, while Texas goes all the way down. Now, all the way down out of the top 25, though. They're still there, but they moved down like seven spots from like being number four to like being like number 10 or number 11 now. So
that's a big jump.
That's a big jump. That's a big drop for them.
We're talking about Texas. Like, hey, Texas is here.
And they look like the most complete team, and rightfully so, after beating Alabama. But then, you know, they still have a favorable schedule. So if they could just win out the schedule and then meet Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship.
Yeah, maybe get that back.
Yeah, yeah.
I see what you're saying.
And then after that, they'll be able to, you know, they should be able to have a fighting chance. If anything, they should be in the college football playoffs. But you know, that was a great game. That was one of my favorite games I watched. A game that pissed me off all the way was Miami, though.
Oh man, yeah, we gotta talk about Mr. Cristobal over here, man, because that was
third and 10. There's what, less than 30 seconds left. Georgia Tech has zero timeouts. You have what, all of your timeouts? If anything, if everybody's still for some unknown reason confused because we're at the end of the game, it was an ugly game. It was a game that we weren't even supposed to win, but hey, we're here. We're up by three. What do? When God gives you an opportunity, what do? You take it, right?
You're supposed to.
Yeah.
You're supposed to.
Yep. God gave you a gift and said, hey, we know you wasn't supposed to win this game, but it's okay. Here, just take this knee. What do? They decide for some unknown reason to try to run for a first down. And then the worst of the worst comes to happen.
The worst. The worst.
They fumble the ball. And then next thing you know, Georgia Tech goes down. What is that? I think in two or three plays, they go down 70-something yards, 80-something yards, and score a touchdown.
Yeah, that was bad, man. That was bad.
I'm not even a Miami fan, but I was yelling at my TV, what in the world are you doing?
I don't understand that either. Just to see the kids on the sideline too, like you see homeboy crying,
yeah,
like if, on the too. Clips, like, oh my God. I was like, what's going on? Why would you not take the knee? You had the game.
You had the game, and I hate, you know, I understand the people out there saying, you know, two hands on the ball. First of all, let's put this out there. First of all, the running back, I forgot his name, but the running back should not have been put in that position one way or another. Mm-mm. There's no way in the world I would have never put my running back in that position. One. Two, like I said, you literally were about to escape an ugly game where there were turnovers, you know, miscues, that you just couldn't get it right. But, you know, you somehow, some way came out with a 3-point lead at that time. Take the knee. It's fine. You're not going nowhere.
Exactly. Guess like what? You had the game won.
Guess what?
Right then and there.
Guess what? You take the knee. You still have an undefeated season. And then the next week, which is this week, you got to play North Carolina. Now the interesting part would be, how will they come out now? Because my biggest fear right now is that now the players don't trust coach.
And I'm afraid that morale is going to be not going to be there at all.
It's not there.
And once you lose the team, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over. It's over.
Yeah, no, it sucks because Miami, every chance, every time, every year, Miami always had that chance to, you know, come back and be the Miami of the old. And every time they get that chance, they squander it. It just looked.
But that was bad. That was really bad.
That was horrible.
Really bad.
That's one where, you know, I'm pretty sure if Miami didn't have to pay out Cristobal like over 70-something mil, they would have fired him immediately. Let's just be honest.
I mean, and the funny thing is, as you were talking about earlier before we started recording, how this isn't the first time that he's done this.
He did it when he was at Oregon. Did it like twice in Oregon. He did it against Stanford at one time, and then he did it against Auburn, where Bo Nix, out of all people that they were playing, came through and lit them up at the end. Because he decided to, I think he called the timeout on like the first play of the game, and then after that he mismanaged and called like two more timeouts at the end of the game that back to back, that like messed them up, and basically gave Auburn their chance to go down and score, which they ended up doing back then. But yeah, no, it's,
you could say something with him and clock management ain't really there.
It's something where
it's a little hollow up there.
It's something where, you know, I remember. if I'm not mistaken, I remember when I was in high school, when my dad and Coach Floyd and all of them were coaching, you know, you would have your assistant coaches kind of game manage a little bit for you mm-hmm. because the head coach would be so into the game trying mm-hmm. to figure out, you know, putting his players in the best position. Sometimes, you know, it's not bad to have your assistant coaches there, you know, be like, all right, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're mm-hmm. going to get everybody in position, do this, do that, and the third, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Time management. Time mm-hmm. management is crucial.
It's one of the most crucial aspects of the game.
You know, so it just looks bad. Just looks bad.
It looks really bad. Looks really bad.
A team that is more than likely not going. Well, I could say not even more than likely. They're just for sure not going now. Notre Dame.
That was a bad, bad loss.
Notre Dame over the last couple of weeks have had a roller coaster ride. You know, the close loss to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Then after that, they, you know, get that emotional win over Duke, mm-hmm. you know, at the last, basically on the last drive. And then after that, you're going to Louisville and you just don't have it.
Nothing at all.
Just nothing at all. Couldn't figure it
30-22. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, 33-20, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Against, you know, the 25 ring team in Louisville, Notre Dame at 10. Yeah, that's bad. That's bad. Louisville came to play, though. You got to give them their props. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, they balled.
You got to give them their props. They held, you know, defensively, held Notre Dame. Couldn't get nothing going on the Notre Dame offensive side of the ball.
Correct.
It was just like, every time I feel like we watch Notre Dame, like, I feel like they're a roller coaster.
Yeah.
It's always so up and down, like, during the course of the season for them. It's never consistently like, you know, increase.
Right.
It's like a up 1 week, down the next week. Up 1 week, and then it plateaus a little bit, then down again or up again. Like, you know, it's never consistent.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. And then this week, they got USC, who just escaped a narrow one too. Overtime a battle with Arizona, mm-hmm. who Arizona and their right played a great game.
They did. They definitely did.
But Caleb Williams is, if there's a will, there's a way.
Caleb Williams is a bad boy.
At this point, if he doesn't get injured, just lock him up for the Heisman. Just lock him in.
You have to at this point now. Nobody else is balling like how he's balling.
Yeah, no, he's really doing his thing. I like what he's doing. Yeah, I like what he's doing. It's amazing to see.
It really is.
I can't lie, but yeah, no, that college football is all over the place right now. Ooh, told you about Rutgers. You know, they took a loss to Wisconsin. It wasn't that bad of a loss either. Mm-hmm. It was just the fact that, you know, they got their stops when they needed to. It was just the offense. The offense mm-hmm. was sputtering. They just mm-hmm. couldn't figure it out. But, you know, they got Michigan State this weekend, which would be very big if they can get this win.
They need this win. They do need this win.
If they can get this win and then, you know, potentially getting Indiana next weekend, then, you know, bowling. They're still bowling. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but.
Mm-hmm. We knocking pins down. Yeah. Let's go, Rutgers. We knocking pins down. Jesus. Let's go.
It's the last 2 weeks until we see a gauntlet of Ohio State, Iowa, Penn State, and Maryland. So, mm-hmm. and Maryland almost had their way with Ohio State. So,
yeah, yo, you right about that. Yeah, you're right about that.
It's scary in that Big Ten right now.
We hitting a real scary like midpoint in the season where it's like, ooh, all right, what are these teams about now?
Right,
like who's gonna be the dogs that are gonna get
who's
this through
come on top? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's getting to it, but let's transition over to the NFL.
Yes, sir, Ski.
Before we get into things that happened this past weekend, updates, because there are a lot of injuries. So Justin Jefferson looks like to be on IR with a hamstring injury. And if you're on IR, you're going to be out for at least 4 weeks. With Jefferson, with the team being 1-4, if they don't win any games, I kind of see it hard for him to come back.
That too, like Detroit already got that division on lock.
Yeah,
too.
That division done for. Achane, running back for Dolphins, he's on IR with a knee injury. James Conner is on IR with a knee injury. Anthony Richardson is out with a shoulder injury for right now. The Bills, more injuries to their. Mm-hmm. To their defense, Matt Milano and defensive tackle Daquan Jones are likely out for the season. Hurts them a little more because they lost Tre'Davious White last week with mm-hmm. an Achilles injury for mm-hmm. the season. So, yeah, no, that good thing is that Von Miller's starting to ramp it up, but, you know, that's still a lot, you know, to make up for, because you're losing in a secondary, you're losing in that second level of Matt Milano. Matt Milano, who's easily one of their best players on that team, mm-hmm. especially on that defense. Yes. So, you know, that's going to hurt them. But, a very odd week, almost, to a point.
I would say most definitely.
It kind of
started off an odd week.
Kind of started off odd with Chicago going off on the Commanders.
40. 40 burger. 40 burger.
Going crazy on the Commanders. Ended off the way that I think we all knew it would. Cowboys just are not them boys. Let's just be honest with you. Like, I don't know what to tell y'all. 42-10? Really?
We tried to tell you.
Really? Everybody was sitting there talking about, oh yeah, the Cowboys are good this year. I know they're good, but are they great? No.
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 No. When it comes down to Dak having to be that dude.
No. No.
He's not that dude.
The number one receiver isn't even a number one receiver. Like CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb is not, yeah, he's
only,
not.
Only 4 receptions for 49 yards? Really? Really?
Yo, the funniest thing is just Dak throwing 3 interceptions, though.
After Stephen A. predicted him to
throw 2. Oh, my God. When he got the second one, I know he was happy. When he got that third.
Nah, the third one was like, bro, these are like bench players that you're throwing the ball
like,
to.
It's bad.
You're throwing the ball. I was like, bro, like the defense is full of guys that are, you know, second and third stringers. And the fact that you're throwing an interception to them kind of shows me everything I need to really know.
Mm-hmm.
You like, and not him.
And then Micah going on like, oh, you know, it's personal now because George Kittle was wearing his F Dallas shirt. It should have been personal during the game.
It should have been personal before that.
He didn't even need to wear the shirt. It should have been personal.
Yeah, y'all just lost to them last year.
2-0. And then they hung up, they put up 42 on you on that historically great defense.
And how is it already going to become personal? Bro, he got into the end zone 3 times.
3 times.
Isn't your job as a defense to stop him? After the first time we get into the end zone, I'm like, all right, well, we got to figure that out.
Brock Purdy was carving up that defense and being able to run the ball. What were we saying with that Arizona game? Run the ball at them. Run the ball. Don't even try to go to the outside. You go straight up the gut.
And what did 49ers do? And what's it called? They was giving it to McCaffrey, and they also had, Mason, too, you know? So they had a two-headed monster just doing as they pleased over there.
Yeah.
And then after that, what would happen? You draw them in with the run. After that, you're able to do the play action. Mm-hmm. You're able to roll out to whichever side you want to go on, to the left or the right, depending on whichever way the play is going. Mm-hmm. You're giving it to Kittle. Kittle's just running in for a touchdown. Ayuk is running all over the place. Deebo Samuel's doing as he pleased. Like, how are you supposed to stop that?
You're supposed to score points. That's what you should do.
Yeah, but what happens when your defense can't get pick sixes, they can't force fumbles, and they're actually playing a team that actually knows how to hold on to the ball, that knows to take care of the ball? What are you doing against a team who has been there, done that against you already?
Yep.
And then plus on top of that, your offense has nothing spectacular. There's no explosiveness to it. There's no movement in the pre-snap.
There's
all
nothing.
All San Francisco do is pre-snap movement. If you watch the best offenses right now in San Francisco and Miami and Buffalo, they're all sitting there. You got Deebo Samuel or whoever just running back and forth, confusing the heck out of everybody because they had to keep shifting.
They got to keep shifting. They got to stay with him.
Exactly. So somebody has to stay with them. You don't know if George Kittle's going to sit there and block or if he's just going to shed a tackle and then after that go off for a catch, excuse me. You don't know what Brandon Ayuk is going to do, if he's going to come do a curl route, if he's going to do a post, is he going to do a shallow. There's a lot going on.
So much.
And then with Dallas, though, all you have to really do is sit there. Because they ain't checking nothing. Dak ain't checking the line or anything like that.
Nothing. Yeah, it's bad. That was bad. Because you expected, like, you know, I expected Dallas to give a fight.
Yeah, that's what I expected, too. I expected a closer game.
Yes.
I expected, you know, I'm not going to say I didn't expect Dallas to win, but I expected, you know, I just expected them to fight, like you said.
Not 42-10.
No.
Not 42-10.
No.
They put up 10 points. Dak Prescott put up 10 points.
Their last score was in the third quarter.
10 points.
Their last score was in the third quarter, and that wasn't even a touchdown. It was a field goal.
this is America's team, y'all. This is America's team. It ain't my team, though. I tell you that.
It ain't my team either.
Because this is that was atrocious.
Even my team somewhat looked better than them.
Hey, yo, shout out Steelers, though.
We somehow, I mean, I'm not even going to lie. It wasn't even the Steelers in reality. The fact that the Ravens, well, wide receivers could not catch all day.
That was bad. That was terrible. Horrible. But shout out to that defense, man, T.J. Watt came in. That boy bad for that, man. That boy is, oh, Lord.
He's just like his brother, bro.
Oh. Yeah, that was, those two sacks he got, in that strip sack.
The strip sack was amazing. Joey Porter's interception in the end zone at the end of the game was awesome, too, to give them that final drive. So, the defense is, as usual, their defense somehow, some way.
Exactly. They gave them the chance.
All they have to do is get the offense. And the offense doesn't even have to be really spectacular. They just have to be good enough to score enough points. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
Yeah, just get George Pickens the ball.
Yeah.
Because you've seen what happened. Seen what happened when he went up 1v1 man coverage. Hey, let's go. And that's Kenny Pickett was like, boom.
And that's what I mean by you have to get your ball to your number one receiver.
Yes.
If, you know what I mean? Like, going back to the Dallas game, CeeDee was getting locked up. I remember they were showing the highlights or whatever. CeeDee was getting locked up.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what?
He wasn't letting him out.
Even when your number one receiver is locked up, though, you still have to figure out a way to get him the ball.
Spread the ball.
What's it called? The defender was draped all over George Pickens, but Kenny Pickett gonna make sure he get that ball somehow, some way.
It was the separation he created off of that. Just like, let's go, just go deep vertical, go in the separation. Oh, that was a beautiful football play.
Yeah,
like you want to know what football is like truly about, like in the things.
Right,
that was what it was about right there.
Yep,
that's what I just love to see. That was a crazy game.
That was a crazy game because I didn't think that we win. That was awesome. This weekend we got a pretty good slate of games going on. Baltimore and Tennessee over in London this morning. Kansas City has Denver on Thursday night. Ooh, the Giants. Giants take on the Bills on Sunday night. So,
who?
Okay, never mind. That's our episode for this week, everybody. I hope you all enjoyed. As usual, I'm your host, Cam Silver.
And I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
We will see you guys later. Thank you.
Peace.